President Obama's first television interview after taking office was granted not to 60 Minutes or to CNN, but to the Arab satellite network Al Arabiya. The president was asked if, under his administration, the U.S. stance toward the Israeli-Palestinian conflict would change to a more holistic approach.
If we are looking at the region as a whole and communicating a message to the Arab world and the Muslim world that we are ready to initiate a new partnership based on mutual respect and mutual interest, then I think that we can make significant progress. Now, Israel is a strong ally of the United States. It will not stop being a strong ally of the United States, and I will continue to believe that Israel's security is paramount.
President Obama, in an interview that aired yesterday on the Arab television network Al Arabiya. As you might expect, reaction to the interview here and around the world has been mixed. We'll hear two views in a moment, and we want to hear from you. If you heard or read the interview, what was the message you received? Give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Shibley Telhami is the Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland, and he joins us from his office in College Park, Maryland. Nice to have you back on the program.
Good to be with you.
And Bradley Blakeman worked in the White House for George W. Bush. He's a Republican strategist. He joins us today from radio station WRHU on the campus of Hofstra University on Long Island in New York. Nice to have you as well.
Neil, thank you, and hello, Professor.
Hello.
And Shibley Telhami, let's begin with you. There was a distinctly different tone.
There's no question. I think, you know, you've heard President Obama mention the term respect a lot. We've heard it also in inauguration speech. It's very important. That's the kind of tone he wants to set. We have heard a different tone from the Bush administration. He's also talked about the centrality of the Arab-Israeli issue, which is perceived to be central in the Arab world. I think it's the prism through which most Arabs see America. And you've heard him speak of the connectedness of issues, something that the Bush administration has not talked about. And so I think in tone and in substance, he presented something that was obviously clear in much of the Arab world, particularly because he backed it up with his first decision of closing Guantanamo, which has been a symbol of the sort of things that we've done that were not received well across the world, but especially in Arab and Muslim countries, having activated his diplomacy on the Middle East and dispatched George Mitchell as his special envoy. But having said all of this, I have to tell you that it is a mistake to think that this is this changes everything. I think it sets a new tone. People are listening. They're curious. Even President Obama himself said, "I know I'll be judged not by my words, but by my deeds. So watch for what's to come." We've heard a lot of criticism in the Arab world itself, because much of the Arab world is looking at America today through the prism of Gaza. Gaza is the only story, really, for the past month. People looking at the devastation and the humanitarian crisis, and they expected to hear something on that is stronger than what they had heard from the Bush administration. So there's a little bit of criticism that's coming on that. But I think he sets a tone that's different, I think it's being received in the Arab world.
And I want to get to Bradley Blakeman, who has been more critical of the president's tone.
I have. I think the president in his interview in Al Arabiya was weak and pandering. I think his decision on Guantanamo was as wrong as his decision on the surge during the campaign. He is making political decisions without the benefit of policy and his people around him who could give him sound advice. He doesn't have an attorney general, nor does he have a CIA director. And he's making these important decisions in a vacuum because he's trying to make good on a campaign promise. But we don't know what is going to come of these 240 detainees. Are they going to be tried, Mr. President? Are they going to be deported? What is your plan other than closing Guantanamo and moving these people to another venue? Call it what you want, but he has no plan outside the closing of Guantanamo.
Shibley,
just a moment, and let's go back to the speech for a moment. That was just a very small part of his speech. I know you were critical of other aspects.
I was. I thought that the president, by sending George Mitchell there as a broker, was presumptuous. We should not send George Mitchell to the region as a broker. That shouldn't be his purpose. He should go there as a fact finder to meet with these people, some people he's meeting for the first time, find out what their concerns are and report back to the president. Who are we to say that we're going to broker anything? I think that's been our problem over the years, is we've been too engaged and too upfront without the international partners we need surrounding us to solve these very heady issues. So also on Islamic fascism, the president wants to use different language. Mr. President, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. These people are using religion as a weapon and a sword, and we should call it for what it is. Islamic fascism is dangerous, not because I say it, because from their very mouths of the Iranian president, he seeks the destruction of Israel and the destruction of the United States in the name of a god.
Let me just say, first of all, on Mitchell, the president said, actually, his first mission is to listen. And he said very clearly, actually, very, very in his speech, that he first intends to listen, not dictate or broker, for that matter, that it was a listening mission. And that was very clear. But, you know, we've talked this tough talk for the past 8 years. And that has been the policy that the American people rejected. That is the policy that has set us behind internationally. That is the policy that has made America weaker, not stronger, because it is weaker, and everybody senses that we're weak. That's why we've had the election results. Obama did what he promised in the campaign, what he told the American people he was going to do. He said he was going to set this kind of tone. He's fulfilling his promises. And on Guantanamo, frankly, I don't understand it. I mean, I think that what he didn't say, I'm closing it tomorrow. He said, I'm closing it within a year. Everybody understands this is not a new issue. We know what the consequences are. We know what you have to do with prisoners. This has been studied. Many organizations, including a human rights organization, have discussed the options of where to move them, whether third parties would take them, whether we put them in our own prisons, who would be released. This is not a new issue. It's a question of implementing it over a period of time.
Professor,
and it does require studying, and that's why he's giving it within a year.
He's made these decisions in a vacuum. He doesn't have a CIA director in place, nor as Attorney General who must carry out this policy. He did it as a knee-jerk reaction to make good on a campaign promise without an ultimate solution. It's not the way to go about it. This is the same mistake he made on the surge.
Very briefly, Bradley Blakeman, didn't John McCain, the Republican candidate, also promise to close Guantanamo Bay?
He did, but John McCain is not the president, and he didn't make good on that promise because he didn't have the power to do it. But I can assure you, John McCain would have gone about it in the way that I'm suggesting, and that is you get your people in place, you study the issue, you take the advice from professionals, and then you make a decision. Well, you don't make a decision in a vacuum not knowing what the end result is going to be, and that's exactly what we don't know. What is Pelosi going to take all these people in her district?
Let's see if we get some callers in on the conversation. Again, we're talking with a Republican strategist, a former White House staffer, Bradley Blakeman, and with Shibley Telhami, the Anwar Sadat Professor of Peace and Development at the University of Maryland, about the president's interview yesterday on Al Arabiya, his first television interview since being elected president. This is Don L. Don L. with us from Malta, the country of Malta in the Mediterranean.
Good evening. I want to say, Mr. Conan, I want to thank you also for having Dr. Telhami, who was very well understood and understood the world on this part of the world. I want to say also Mr. Obama showed his genuine sincerity, that he's immediately want to act, unlike some leader in the past. And it really shows, and it was also translated several languages, not just Maltese, French, Arabic. And I really believe there's a very good chance that Mr. Obama or Dr. President Obama will view it very favorably, because he comes on as very sincere and not influenced by.
And you're right. We need to wait deeds and not just words. But do you think it was significant that the first interview he gave on television as president was to Al Arabiya?
That's correct. It probably shows he's genuinely interested in resolving this issue, and he addressed the Arabic and the Muslim world at the same time, because this is not just a Muslim or Arabic or the Middle East. This is a very global issue, and shows that the first 2 weeks in his presidency, he's extremely powerful, by the way, around the globe, as you may know already.
Bradley Blakeman, what was the symbolism, the importance of granting that interview, again, not to CNN, not to 60 Minutes, but to Al Arabiya?
Well, I think he wants to reach out to the Muslim world. I have no problem with that, the fact that he spoke to Al Arabiya. What I have a problem with is what he said, most particularly what he said about Iran. The question was pointed to him very matter-of-factly, Will the United States ever live with a nuclear Iran? And he said one thing in the campaign and different to the Muslim audience and the Arabic audience when he did not answer that question. The question must be answered by an American president that we will never, ever tolerate a nuclear Iran. Not that it will cause a arms race in the region. It can never get to that point. They seek the destruction of Israel and the United States. Can never happen. Why didn't he be as emphatic with them as he did with us trying to get our votes?
Danielle, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're talking with Bradley Blakeman, a former White House staffer in the Bush administration, and with Shibley Talhami about the president's interview yesterday on Al Arabiya. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Bill. Bill with us from San Francisco.
Yeah, hi. I listened and watched the interview, and I was very impressed with President Obama and the fact that he did grant the first interview to an Arabic-speaking outlet. My main impression was that he offered friendship right away to a very, very important culture in the world, that being the Muslim culture. And based on his background, especially in Indonesia, where I spent many years myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that also he did mention that he wants to be sure that he's not going to reward cultures that take down other cultures, or in effect, that's what he said.
Yeah, he repeated what he'd said in his inaugural address, Shibley Talhami, about those who seek to destroy. We will seek them out and destroy them. We will not give in. And he also mentioned that, as we played that clip of tape, he regards the security of the state of Israel as paramount.
You know, and I think that, you know, this talking about strength and against false strength, when you stretch your muscles and talk rhetorically and appear macho, in the end, everybody else is coming after you, and you're weaker, and you're losing allies. That's not strength. What he's talking about here is he's going to be tough on those who are attacking our interests and attacking the United States of America, particularly Al-Qaeda, and he's going to be tougher. And he has said that before. He's repeated that among the Arab audience. And what he wants to do is differentiate between that, to tell them he doesn't have the impression that the vast majority of the Muslim people either support them or like them. And he's going to change the rhetoric that seems to implicate everybody else who is not on the side of Al-Qaeda, and that he intends to be tougher on Al-Qaeda than the Bush administration has been. That's the rhetoric that I heard. He didn't shy away from saying it to the Arab world. If he was so concerned about people who are in the region who are, might be sympathetic with Al-Qaeda, he certainly didn't show it, because he confronted that up front. On Iran, you know, I think that the tone was just right. I think that this is the time when he wants to start engaging Iran. And his position is clear on this. The U.S. is opposed to Iran having nuclear weapons. I don't think he needed to repeat that in that particular arena. I don't understand what the purpose of that would be. The idea here was, we will stretch our hand to every country.
Because, Professor, those are the people who need to hear it. Those are the people who need to hear it.
The Arab world is not Iran. Iran is not particularly popular in the Arab world per se. Iran benefits in the Arab world only when people are angry with America and is seen to stand up to America. So the issue is not really about Iran. People in Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and Jordan don't want to see Iran powerful. Iran is not an Arab country. Remember that. This is an Arabic interview in an Arabic media.
Professor Talhami, to be fair, he was asked the direct question,
yes,
will the United States ever live with a nuclear Iran? And to be fair, he did not answer it.
Well, I mean, I heard the tone to be just the right tone. And I think that in this kind of arena, when you're reaching out and you're sending a signal that you want to talk, I think there are many other places where you can repeat that we will not live with Iran as nuclear weapons.
Bill, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's see if we can go now to Robert. Robert with us from Boise, Idaho.
Afternoon, guys.
Afternoon.
Real quick, the guest that says McCain would... he assures him, you know, assures that he would handle it different. It's a little presumptuous.
I know John McCain, my friend, and I'm not speaking presumptuously. I happen to know the man. I know his staff. I know his positions, and I know how he would have handled this. He would not have handled it the way Obama did. I can assure you of that.
Okay, let's move on. I don't have a problem with the content of the speech, but I think it was a little divisive, the timing, solely because the rabid right is going to look at this and say, see, he's a closet Muslim. That's what I'm afraid of. I would have been more comfortable with the exact same verbiage of the speech, but in front of Larry King or even on The View, for that matter. I don't have a problem with what he said, just when and where he said it.
I
think that was a little poorly thought out.
He should not have gone on Al Arabiya as his first televised interview.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call, Robert.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And as you look at the interview, Bradley Blakeman, we just have about a minute left, he did reiterate his strong support for the State of Israel and said that was not going to change under any circumstances, that the security of the State of Israel was paramount. Again, something that might not play all that well to an Arab audience.
Well, it's doublespeak. In one breath he says it, and the next breath he's not as strong. And I can tell you this. He said it is possible for us to see a Palestinian state. He's not going to put a time frame on it. There is a Palestinian state. There are borders. Israel gave them land. They choose not to make it a state and to be a legitimate state by not recognizing the State of Israel. That's the problem. Before you get to the state of Palestine?
Peace. I must have missed it. I'm a student of this issue.
They have Gaza. Who has Gaza? They do. They're in control.
Since when Gaza is a state?
But that's the trouble, Professor, is they have not sought to legitimize it by recognizing Israel and living within their borders.
Well, Abu
peacefully.
Mazen has. Why isn't there a state on the West Bank? Abu Mazen has recognized Israel and agreed to live with
because
Israel
because the Palestinian
peacefully.
Don't and speak with one voice, sir.
This is an argument that is going to continue for some time. Thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you, Neil.
Shibli Telhami, the Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland, and Bradley Blakeman, who worked in the White House for George W. Bush, with us today from WRHU on the campus of Hofstra University on Long Island in New York. This is NPR News.